Ms. Ellsworth.
Good morning, and may it please the court. Jessica Ellsworth for Appellant Hyundai. I'd like to reserve 3 minutes for rebuttal. This appeal presents three key legal questions. First, did the district court err as a matter of law by failing to interpret the contract as requiring the three conditions precedent exist at the same time? Second, if so, is the proper remedy judgment as a matter of law or a new trial? And third, did the district court mislead the jury by instructing the jurors to give, quote, no weight, end quote, to the key Florida DMV evidence, despite the central role that evidence played in Hyundai's defense that it had not breached the contract? I'd like to start with the legal error on contract interpretation. It is black-letter Florida law that contracts should be construed to give effect to the intentions of the parties. Contracts should be construed as a whole, and contracts should be construed to avoid absurdities. Here, the text and the purpose of Section 10 and the context of the contract as a whole show no ambiguity about whether...
Didn't both parties introduce volumes of extrinsic evidence and testimony from lay and expert witnesses to substantiate their interpretations?
Your Honor, there were differing interpretations of certain terms.
Was there extensive evidence, right? Extrinsic evidence supporting the respective interpretations by both parties?
Not on this question of whether the conditions precedent had to occur at the same time. The divergence of opinions had to do with what open points meant, what distribution rights meant.
They debated whether a new line make was established when Hyundai first spun off Genesis as an independent brand, right?
So, Your Honor, Genesis was spun off as an independent brand and Action Nissan...
Whether that was a new line make.
It was a new line make, and you can see this in the closing argument that's made to the jury.
They debated this, but the parties debated this, right?
In front of the jury, Mr. Nero's position was that the new line make and the distribution right preconditions took place in October of 2018, and that the open points existed in March of 2018. And yeah, I think this...
And those terms, though, line makes, open points, those are all part of Section 10, right?
They are. They certainly are. The legal question, Your Honor, of concurrency arose for the first time at the charge conference when Mr. Nero's counsel said to the district court judge in response to three separate questions that his position was the breach had occurred in January of 2019. That's based on the decision made in October of 2018 by the Florida DMV. That is 7 months after this breach of contract action was filed. And this was certainly news to Hyundai, who had understood, based on the way the case had proceeded, that they were asserting the breach had occurred prior to their suit being filed in March. If I could, Your Honor, give just a simple, I think, example that helps.
I mean, the problem is it's just not clear to me that the unambiguous language mandates your interpretation.
So, Your Honor, let me give you a simple example that I think might help make it clear. If I tell my daughter that she has a right of first refusal to bake chocolate chip cookies with me, as long as we have chocolate chips, we have flour, and we have a working oven, it wouldn't be a breach if we have chocolate chips in March. By the time we have flour and a working oven, we're in October. The purpose is to bake chocolate chip cookies. Just as here, the purpose of this contractual provision was to allow Mr. Nero a right of first refusal in a set of circumstances that never came into existence. The district court at the charge conference said repeatedly that she was not going to instruct the jury that these three things had to occur at the same point in time. And yet, when she denied judgment as a matter of law, she concluded that there was, in fact, a way to read the evidence as suggesting they had all occurred in March of 2018. That was not an argument that Mr. Nero ever made to the jury. It was not an argument that's supported by the evidence that the district court judge itself identified from the trial, and it's not consistent with Mr. Nero's closing, in which he told the jury, you can see this at document 307 at pages 14 to 16, he told the jury that the line make and distribution rights did not come into effect until October of 2018. So for these reasons, we think it is clear the contract did require concurrency. The district court judge was incorrect to not instruct the jury on that point, and for that reason, at a minimum, a new trial is required. The other error.
When I read the transcript, and maybe it's just me, I'm a little confused because it almost seems like the court and Mr. Sullivan are talking about the same thing but don't have the same understanding. So the court says that they don't have to happen simultaneously, but they have to be in existence at the same time. And then Mr. Sullivan says yes, but then later on suggests that they have to happen simultaneously. And I'm hearing, especially with your chocolate cookie analogy, that they don't have to happen simultaneously. They just have to all exist at the same time to trigger whatever the event is.
That's correct, Your Honor. And we think it's the text of the contract, the purpose, and the context. If you look at Section 11 and Exhibit A, this is all about if there is a situation in which all three of these conditions are present. They don't have to happen at the same moment in time, but they all have to be present at the same point in time. And when that happens, there is a right of first refusal that's triggered here to open a new additional luxury motor vehicle distributor that didn't exist before.
Couldn't this provision be read this way? Nero shall be appointed as a dealer for two open points for any new line make established at some point by Hyundai, and for which Hyundai is, at some point, granted the rights of distribution. The verb stem of the sentence, shall have, is phrased in future conditional tense, not present tense. And it seems to me there's nothing about the syntax here that explicitly requires Hyundai to actively possess a Florida licensing rights before open points could come into existence under the terms of the contract.
So, Your Honor, I have two quick responses to that, and then I would like to address impossibility as well. I think there is actual textual language. The text here uses the to be appointed language, and the only way that Nero could actually be appointed would mean there must be distribution rights in existence. This is an important difference between the summary judgment stage and the trial stage. At the trial here, the only evidence about the distribution rights was the contract between Hyundai's parent company and Genesis Motor America, which made very clear that those distribution rights were conditioned on the application to the Florida DMV being accepted. So at trial, there was really no question. In all candor, that's, I think, why Mr. Nero pivoted. And so in his closing argument, having seen this whole mountain of evidence about when the distribution rights came into existence, he came up with this divergent timing theory for the very first time at the charge conference.
And the jury bought it.
And then repeatedly argued it to the jury. And in fact, he argued to the jury that the fact the court had not instructed on concurrency was proof that concurrency was not required. But that is, Your Honor, not, I think, a fair reading of the text and the purpose of the contract. The other error that the district court made in the jury instructions relates to the impossibility defense. Hyundai had two defenses in this case as it went through litigation. One was that it had not breached the contract, and the reasons it had not breached the contract turned in significant part on the Florida DMV's actions. And it also had a second argument, an affirmative defense, that if it had breached the contract, that breach was excused by legal impossibility. The district court instructed the jury to disregard and give no weight to that Florida DMV evidence. And so in closing, the Nero's counsel was able to ask the jury, what reason could Hyundai possibly have had for not offering open points to Nero? Well, it certainly had reasons. Those reasons related to the Florida DMV evidence that the district court told the jury to give no weight to. This was misleading. Hyundai requested that the district court explain that even if this evidence should be given no weight for legal impossibility, it certainly could be given weight by the jury in assessing whether there had been a breach in the first point. It is, I think, very basic evidence law that evidence can be admissible or inadmissible for certain reasons and not admissible for other reasons. The district court, by refusing to give that additional clarifying language, I think committed the same kind of error that this court has rectified in cases like AseraCare, where the instruction was incomplete in what it told the jury by telling the jury to give no weight in its deliberations to this Florida DMV evidence. That evidence was the heart and guts of Hyundai's defense on the merits of the breach question, setting aside legal impossibility on the breach question. And this one-sided impossibility instruction told the jury that, as Nero put it to them, they could ignore Hyundai's entire defense. That is not what jury instructions are supposed to do. They are supposed to properly guide the jury's discretion, and here that didn't happen.
But I thought the record shows that there were other dealerships who were offered this opportunity. How does impossibility work if they were able to provide that opportunity to others?
So Hyundai never defended itself at trial by arguing a legal impossibility defense. Legal impossibility says these three preconditions came into existence, we breached, but we had an excusable reason for doing so. That issue was thrown out.
But you had a witness who testified that it was almost impossible, which the district court found was a violation of a pretrial order, and then because of that, gave this instruction. That's how this arose, right?
It arose because a witness was asked why Hyundai had pivoted from its initial plan to its later plan. Its initial plan was a small 100-dealer select network. Its later plan was a clone of the Hyundai network. The witness was asked why that pivot had occurred, which is important to whether there were, in fact, open points. Open points are where you want additional representation. Your Honor, I see my red light is on. I'm happy to answer further questions or save the remainder of my time for rebuttal.
Thank you, Ms. Ellsworth. Let's hear from Mr. Ramit Gundrappa.
May it please the court, Naveen Ramachandrappa on behalf of William Nero and Universal Hyundai. I'm going to start with the question of whether Hyundai is entitled to judgment as a matter of law based on the simultaneous conditions. And the first point is that they are not, because they forfeited that argument. They did not raise whether all three conditions had to be met at the same time in their Rule 50A motion. And the district court expressly held that, therefore, it's forfeited. I didn't hear anything from opposing counsel on this argument, and I think that's because the record is clear on this. They didn't put it in their Rule 50A motion. They tried to argue, well, we mentioned it in the charge conference. We asked for this instruction. But that is evidence that it's for the jury. If you need a charge on something and you're saying the jury needs to be charged on it, that's evidence that's a question of fact for the jury to decide. So that means that they can't get judgment as a matter of law. I do want to address the question of whether they are entitled to this instruction that they did ask for. And there are multiple problems with this. I'm going to start first with the evidence, but I'm going to get to some additional points after that. So a jury charge could only be reversible error, the failure to give it, if it has a materially prejudicial effect. And if it didn't affect the evidence, if it wouldn't have resulted in a different verdict, then it's not harm. So what's the evidence? So as of March 2nd, 2018, all three conditions existed at the same time. Line make. Under our definitions, which the jury accepted, that just means a brand. So as of 2018, March 2nd, 2018, Genesis G80, that's a separate line make. The Genesis is the make, and the G80 is the model. We have open points. They literally sent a letter to 100 dealers saying, these are the markets. They were all included in the eight-county area. And then the third, and this is the issue that Hyundai tries to dispute, is distribution rights. GMA had distribution rights as of that date, and even if they didn't, HMA does. Now, what they point to is they say, well, look, the distribution rights in Florida were specifically conditioned on whether the Florida DMV approved the license. Well, there's two problems with that. Number one, our definition doesn't depend on the Florida DMV. It's just whether it was in the United States. And there's evidence that the jury could have concluded that they had those rights in the United States. But even if it did have to be so specific as to Florida, well, Hyundai, HMA, Hyundai Motor America, was distributing the G80. And the evidence of this is from Melanie Vianek, who works for the Florida DMV. Question, Hyundai Motor America continued to distribute the vehicles as, answer, up until the 30th of October, yes. So all the way through that, they've already got it. So under even under the definitions, there's no dispute that all three conditions were met. Now, even if we used Hyundai's definitions, they were still met even as of October 30th, 2018. So on that date, we've definitely got a Florida DMV license that's been approved. We've definitely got rights of distribution. And they say, well, at that point, we didn't want them because we already had dealers. But GMA didn't have any dealers as of October 30th, 2018. And the way this works is, so Hyundai had dealers up until October 30th, but the moment they get their license approved, they've got to have new dealers. They have zero Genesis dealers as of October 30th, 2018. And we know that's true because they don't get those dealers until January 3rd, 2019. And that's what the evidence pretty clearly establishes, because they made these new dealership agreements. And this is from Willie Hernandez, who is was general counsel of HMA. Question, you'd agree in 2009 there were no franchise Genesis dealers? Right, not in 2009. And they didn't exist until the end of 2018 or 2019, right? Answer, they came into existence in January of 2019. So all three conditions had existed under either interpretation, and therefore they're not entitled to a new trial on that basis. Now, as I mentioned, there's an additional reason that they are not entitled to a new trial. One is that there's no harm, but the second is that there's an ambiguity in the contract. As Chief Judge Pryor has explained through his questions, that was a question. Now, they can make good arguments, and they made those, and those went to the jury, but they didn't have to accept it. And I think one reason that can help explain and rebut the analogy to baking chocolate chip cookies that I can offer to you is, these aren't chocolate chip cookies. And there's a major difference in importance, which is that you can have an open point before you have the rights of distribution. Because all an open point is I want to place somebody in a new dealer. Now, if you accept Hyundai's interpretation, this whole right of first refusal would be essentially meaningless. Because all they would need to do is say, okay, we're in July 2018, we're still waiting on the Florida DMV to approve our rights of distribution. I'm gonna go to Coconut Creek Genesis, or at that time, Coconut Creek Hyundai. Do you want a Genesis dealer? Coconut Creek says, yes, I'd love a Genesis dealer. The open point is closed. And so if their interpretation allowed, they could just give away the open points, wait until they get their distribution rights and close the open points. Distribution rights exist and this whole provision is meaningless. Now, maybe there's a better argument that can counter that. Those are all arguments for the jury. And as the chief judge had indicated, there was voluminous evidence on this point. So unless there are any questions, I'm going to transition to the impossibility issue, and that'll be the last issue that I address. A couple of key just sort of context here. HMA does not appeal the judge's ruling that impossibility isn't a proper defense. Mm-hmm. They don't appeal the judge's discretionary ruling that a curative instruction was necessary based on multiple witnesses, but most importantly, the witness who said it's impossible after they were warned about that. So what are they saying?
Witness said almost impossible, right?
Almost impossible, that's right. That can't be enough, and the district court found it wasn't enough, that it was quite egregious in that circumstance. So then we get to, okay, well, what was the instruction? Well, the instruction doesn't say disregard everything about the DMV. It says you are instructed to disregard any evidence or testimony that argues or implies that it was legally impossible for them to offer plaintiffs one or more rights of first refusal. So two things there. It has to argue or imply impossibility, and then rights of first refusal. That doesn't preclude the jury from considering it as to any of the other issues in the case, and we know that as a fact because Instruction 10 says Hyundai claims that a line make means a group of motor vehicles sold and recognized as a line make by the Florida DMV. Same for their rights of distribution definition. So the jury was allowed to consider the Florida DMV's actions, just not for the thing that that the judge said they couldn't, which was impossibility. And there is some conflation that I think is going on there, which is that they're not allowed to say that the reason they didn't make this offer to Mr. Nero is because of the Florida DMV's actions. But if they want to argue that they didn't have open points, then they can say that. And in fact, they did do that. The jury just rejected those arguments. So unless there's any other questions, I'll sit down. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Ellsworth, you've saved 3 minutes.
Thank you, Your Honors. Judge Pryor, you asked about the party's dispute over various terms and how that would factor into our argument on concurrency. Yep. And this is how, and I'm going to return to this baking chocolate chip cookies example because I think it's a much simpler one to understand. We can disagree about whether that contract I made with my daughter required using milk chocolate or dark chocolate or bittersweet chocolate. That doesn't change whether all three conditions have to be in place at the same point in time for the contract to have any meaning. And I heard my friend on the other side tell you, well, that would allow some sort of gamesmanship by Hyundai where I could give away open points before actually having distribution rights. And we answer this in footnote 5 of our reply brief, where the evidence at trial, I think, was very clear on the difference between a letter of intent and an actual formal appointment of someone to be a new dealer. And so in our interpretation, requiring concurrency is a very basic, common sense, textualist-driven way of looking at what the purpose was here of this contract. It does not open the table to the gamesmanship that counsel for the other side has suggested. On the new trial, issue for both of the instructional errors, for impossibility and for the concurrency, this court's case law makes clear that prejudice can result from the opposing counsel using an erroneous instruction or an incomplete instruction as the basis or emphasis in their closing argument. You can see that in the Christopher versus Cutter Labs case that we discuss in our brief, where the prejudice flowed from the fact that the court felt that the jury may have been misguided. And here the jury was told to give no weight to the Florida DMV evidence because that evidence could imply legal impossibility, even though that evidence could also show there was no breach. To the extent there were open points, even on the best reading of, I think, the evidence in before the jury, if there were open points back when that letter was sent in March, by May, by July, when the application was denied, Hyundai had moved on, and it did not continue to have open points at that time. It was going to have a clone of the Hyundai network. Every Hyundai dealer was going to become a dual dealer, and so there was no need for additional representation. And the whole purpose of this contract had been to ensure if there was a situation where additional representation was wanted for this new luxury line make, that Mr. Nero would have the opportunity to put his hand up first for that. Because that didn't happen, we think Your Honors should reverse the judgment below and remand at a minimum for a new trial based on instructional error.
Thank you, Ms. Ellsworth. We have your case, and we will be in recess until tomorrow.
Thank you, Your Honors.